Hallelujah.
Hey, let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this time that we've come together, gathered together in your house. Father, we know that you said that your Holy Spirit would come and lead us and guide us into all truth. He'll speak the things that come directly from the throne room of God, and he'll show us things to come. So, Father, we fully expect your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in this moment. Father, to lead and guide me as I'm preaching forth this word, speaking forth this word that you've gave me, Father, as you give me revelation in the midst of it, that I speak it out and that I speak it out boldly. But Father, we take the things that we grab here today, that we learn here today, and Father, we don't just leave them here, we take them with us. And then we utilize them, we put them into practice, because your word's true, your word is life-changing, it's transforming, and we have people that we know, Father, and you know, that need to be transformed, that need their lives changed, that need you operating fully in their lives. And so we thank you for it and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to start off with this statement here. If God is not on the throne of your life, if he's not the priority of your life, then what he says about you isn't going to hold much value in your life. If he's not the center of your life, if he's not a priority in your life, which means his word is probably not a priority in your life. If he's not the center and if he's not a priority, then the things that he says about you, you either don't know them, or if you've heard them, they're not going to hold much value, because a lot of times we place other priorities in our life. We put other things. A lot of people will say, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your priorities.
That's right.
We'll get into finances here in a couple of weeks. Anyway, but he needs to be priority in our lives. He needs to be on the throne of our lives. And when he is, we do understand who we are in him. This whole idea, the sermon here, I've titled it, Who Do You Think You Are? I'm everything that he says about me. Why? Because I'm in him. I'm in Christ. We have a little booklet back here in my office, and probably most of you have this booklet. It's called, written by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's called In Him. And if we take a look at that booklet there, in the very back of it, it lists every scripture in the New Testament that says either in him, in Christ, in whom, and it's talking about us, and it's talking about our position in the body of Christ, and what God and what Christ thinks about us, and what he's the authority that he says that we have in our lives, and the things that are available to us. And he did all this because, we said it earlier, it's all about Jesus and the things he did. He made all those things readily available to us because we're in him. Now, we're probably going to finish up today this Who Do You Think You Are in Him series. You know, who you are in him, what the word says about us. And I wanted to start off with a passage that I pretty much started off this series with a couple of weeks ago. And it was in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we're going to read through verse 20. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And it says, therefore, if, in the event, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It kind of tickled me this morning when I said that he is a new creation. And I said, you got that new car smell. That thought came to my mind back there. Man, I got a new car smell. Who loves a new car smell? I mean, I do. Maybe somebody's developed some aftershave or cologne about that too. I don't know. But you're something that's never been created. You're brand new. It's never existed. That old you, when you became in him, when you became in Christ, who you used to be no longer exists. Now, but yeah, Rick, I see you. And you still have the same length of hair. Hair, and you still wear glasses. I know. But I'm in him, and everything about me, his spirit came to reside in me. And because it does, anything that has gone on in my past, I don't need to look back and feel condemned about it, feel ashamed about it. I can move forward because he says, yeah, I've forgotten all that. I'm brand new. You're brand new. You can move forward. You don't have to live in the past. I think that's another thing that I don't have as much room up here today. You notice there's something on the stage here. At some point, somebody will be looking at themselves in that mirror there. But I am different. I'm different than what I was 2 weeks ago. There should be a constant transformation in our lives. When we grasp who we are in Him and what's available to us and what His Word says about us, man, we will change by leaps and bounds. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The old is dead. You had a visitation and you had a funeral and he's been buried. That old guy doesn't exist anymore. You're brand new. And it says here, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He's reconciling you to himself, and he doesn't care what happened 10 minutes ago. He doesn't care what happened 20 years ago. He doesn't care that you really messed up a long time ago. He's reconciling you to himself, and he's forgotten all about those trespasses. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Uh-oh. He's forgot about that. And now because we're in him, he expects us to go and help him reconcile other people to him. He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the message of reconciliation. And it says those who believe will be saved, be reconciled back to God. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wow. Well, what does an ambassador speak? An ambassador usually goes to a foreign country and he speaks in front of foreign leaders and he's saying certain things to them. But he's not speaking on his own, by his own thought, his own desires, his own will. He's speaking on behalf of the one that he represents. As new creatures in Christ, who do we represent? We represent Jesus. And he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. To do what? Yeah. To bring others to him. And in doing so, bringing others to him, we don't bring our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own suggestions on what should. We speak the word of God, and that draws men unto him. It's the goodness of God, his word, that leads men to repentance. Because we're in him, he trusts us. Reading here on in verse 20, it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God wants to use us. Some people would say this would be wrong speaking, wrong theology, wrong whatever you want to call it, but God needs us. Oh, Rick, boy, how many shoulders just shrugged because of that? God needs? Well, who in the world does he use in this world? He uses us. We're his hands and feet here. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled of God. Now, I've bought in. I don't know about any of you, but I've bought in. I'm all in. I'm in him to do what he says. Matter of fact, I look for opportunities. I don't have it in my pocket right now. It's back in the office. But my little thing that has all those little invitation cards that we have out here, and we have more, so make sure you get some more and pass those out. Invite people to church. I make sure I carry them with me. I look for opportunities. We had the Mediacom guy at our house when we first moved in there. I'm talking to him about Jesus. It was somebody who had gone to church in the past. He's got a girlfriend here in town. Neither one of them are going to church now. Their parents, they were the type of family that if the church doors were open, they were in church, but he's not going to church now. So I'm looking, he's telling me this. I'm not asking this stuff. He's just regurgitating it onto me. And I'm like, okay, keep coming. You sit and listen long enough and people will tell you everything about themselves. Yeah. So he starts explaining all this stuff to me. Well, it gives me the opportunity. I'm looking for opportunities to share Jesus. And in the end, I invited him to church. I gave him one of our be our guest cards. The plumber guy who came here and worked on the crawl space here, invited him to church. The guy down at City Hall that's in charge of the new housing authority with the new sports complex coming in, talked to him, inviting him to church. I'm looking for opportunities, and not just inviting people to church, but I'm listening to their story, and I want to know, okay, they're dealing with something. Okay, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to minister to them? And in the process, I start speaking and doing the things that he's told me to do, tells me to do in that moment. And how do I recognize when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me in that way? I recognize that I'm in him. I recognize that he has something in store for me. He has a plan and he has a purpose for me. And it's not just for me. It's for everybody in this room. That same commission, that same ministry of reconciliation is for everyone in this room here. We get so caught up in so many different things in our lives, and we get caught up in the traditions of things. We get caught up sometimes even in Bible stuff. Well, you don't believe like I do. Well, let's talk about it. Let me share. Here's what Jesus did. Here's what Jesus says about that situation. You know, if you can show somebody biblically about how something operates, and if they're truly wanting to know what it is that Jesus says about it, they can't argue with the Word. They can't argue with the Word. But because we're in Him, He trusts us to conduct His plan here on the earth. You have to start looking at yourself as important to God. I think sometimes the world will try to tell us that you're not important, that you're not significant in so many, on a worldly standard. The world's standard is here, God's standard is here, and God is saying that you're important. He's saying that you're valuable. He's saying that you're loved. So we have to start looking at ourselves as important to God and loved by God. He loves you so much, He set all this up for you. Everything we've been talking about, all the different messages you've heard over the course of your life where you felt like the Holy Spirit really spoke to you, God set that up for you. You got to walk in it. But we got to believe that God loves us. In John 13, 23, you know, John wrote the book of John. And so he kind of refers to himself in some of these here. But in John 13, 23, it says, the disciple that Jesus dearly loved was at the right hand, right of him at the table and was leaning his head on Jesus. The disciple that Jesus dearly, the disciple that Jesus heartily, earnestly, with great affection loved, was at the right of him at the table and was leaning on Jesus. John referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He got it. He embraced it. He was convinced of it, that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love the rest of them, because he did, but John got it. John got the whole idea, you know, Jesus hadn't died yet, but he got the whole idea that, man, Jesus came here for me, and Jesus loved me, and Jesus is showing me the way. Now, when I look in the mirror here, pull my hair over a little bit, you know. If anybody looked on our Facebook page, I put a Valentine collage of pictures. I think it was on my Facebook page. And the very last picture was a picture of, I think Carrie and I had either just got married or it was slightly before we got married. And we look a lot different. So if you ever go on my Facebook page, you'll find the Valentine picture. And the very last one, I think I was 20 years old when that picture was taken. I think I was 20 years old. I think we were at your dad's wedding. But yeah, we look just a little bit different. So, but I got this Cheval mirror. You may have noticed it up on the stage here. Carrie and I, when we first got married, we moved to Denver, Colorado, Aurora, actually. And I was telling somebody this morning, it's kind of a funny story. I won't tell it all right now, but the night before we got married, my best man Bob Ingram, 62 years old, but he was my best man, came up to Carrie and he says, I hear you guys are moving to Colorado. And she goes, we are. The night before we got married, I hadn't told her yet. So, but this June will be 40 years, so she went along with it. But I got the Cheval mirror here, and you know, as I'm standing up here, I'm thinking, kind of like somebody's looking at me, and I look back, and it's just a disciple that Jesus loves looking back at me. It's just the disciples that Jesus loves. There's Ed and Carrie, Gerhard, Lonnie, yeah, Verna, okay, Peggy and Ed. Yeah, disciples that Jesus loves looking at me. Look into the mirror. If you can see the mirror where you're sitting, you look into that. Disciples that Jesus loves. I had a friend of mine that told me when he read this verse here, he said from that point on, he got up in the mornings when he looked in the mirror and he would actually say, there's the disciple Jesus loves right there. And I think that we need to be constantly reminded of that, because until we realize that Jesus loves us, all the in him stuff, we really don't get it. All the gifts of the Spirit, we really don't get it. When you realize that he loves you and that you're the disciple that he loves, then we're like, okay, now I get it. Yeah, all these things that he's saying in the Word, yeah, those are for me. All these things that he's saying in the Word that he wants me to walk out to benefit others, yeah, okay, I get that. Yep, that's how that works. That works like that. But I got the Cheval mirror up here. I'm a disciple Jesus loves. You're a disciple that Jesus loves. We look in the mirror naturally. I mean, I can look in this mirror naturally, and it's a little awkward looking in the mirror with everybody looking at me looking in the mirror. But you look in the mirror there, and you look at yourself, and you can think, if you look at it from a natural standpoint, you can say, well, maybe some hair plugs. Be quiet. Maybe shed a couple pounds. Be quiet. All right. New wardrobe. Yeah, you don't have to be quiet about that. If anybody wants to fund a new wardrobe. No, I'm just kidding. But you can look in the mirror there, and you can look at yourself naturally, and you can pick yourself apart. Find every single fault in the world. I mean, you can sit there if you wanted to for whatever. You can find every fault that you possibly have. But if you look just a little bit closer, and if you get a hold of who you are in him, you're going to look in that mirror, and what you're going to see, son of God, daughter of God. You're going to see somebody valuable. You're going to see somebody who was chosen to carry out the works of God on this earth, to be an ambassador for him, to manifest the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ, to be somebody that he's called you to be. When you get a hold of that, you can look in that mirror and say, that's the one who's, yeah, I'm in him. So those things belong to me. Those things, I'm going to walk those things out. I have to. Because when I start walking those things out, it benefits the body, and growth happens in the body. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? I say we look at it naturally. You say, well, bad haircut. Big head. Coffee stain from Lonnie Coffee that you just spilt out there in the lobby. Or the donut that's still on the side of your face. You can look at all those natural things and say, I'm a mess. But that's not what God sees. I'm going to have Shigazirim and Rob Zabka. You didn't get here early enough, so I wasn't able to give you a heads up. So come on up on the stage here. And I'm going to grab Mike, the white mic. Test, 1, 2, test. Is it on? Okay, Shigazirim, why don't you grab that first? Rob, just come on up here and stand by her. You don't, just stand there, maybe off to the side over there, both of you.
You're right, this is awesome.
Stand off to the side, over there to the side of the mirror. Here, I'll show you what the side of the mirror is. Okay, there's the side of the mirror. There we go. I told you I'd lead and guide you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just leading and guiding her on the stage here. Okay, Now, I was told to bring Rob up here because, well, and I hesitated because they said, you never know what he's going to say. So I hesitated, but I thought, okay, I'm going to bring him up here anyway. But anyway, I'm going to have Shigazirim. She's going to step. She's going to look out at you guys. Step right here in the front. Okay. Turn around and stare at the mirror. Stare at yourself in the mirror, eye to eye. And I saw a little bit of a shy smile when she first turned around like that. It sometimes is a little bit uncomfortable, even in the natural, just to stand in your bathroom and look in the mirror and say, man, I'm just a mess. And I'm going to let her stand there for a long time before I get to my point. I'm just kidding. But it can be a little bit uncomfortable. And so if I ask her, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And you don't have to answer. But just think to yourself. And I'm going to have you guys too. When you get home in first thing in the morning, who looks in the mirror in the first thing in the morning? Okay, not one person looks in the mirror when they go in the bathroom in the morning. Okay. All right, well, good. I can tell. I mean, never mind. But we mostly will go in the bathroom and we will look in the mirror. And we try to fix things that, you know, you got bedhead, all these different, you're trying to fix these things. But when you look in the mirror, what do you see? What does God see? When we, and I'm talking, some people think, well, you can't just mix these natural things with the spiritual things. Sure you can. You can look in that, you can naturally, physically look in that mirror and think to yourself, okay, I see what I see, but what's God see? I'm going to say three things here, and I want Shigazirim to repeat them after me. And she's got a microphone in her hand. So what do you see when God sees you? I see that I'm in Christ. Repeat after me. I see that I'm in Christ.
I see that I'm in Christ.
I see that I'm valuable.
I see that I'm valuable.
I see that I'm chosen.
I see that I'm chosen.
I see that I'm the disciple that Jesus loves.
I see that I'm the disciple that Jesus loves.
Now, when she's speaking that, and I believe that she believes that, but even, and I'm going to point this out, because sometimes it isn't comfortable initially, and maybe I'm totally off base, but when she said some of those things, she looked to her right. Looked to her right. God's not looking to the right or to the left at us. He's staring straight at us. And I believe that she believes those things. Just the things that she said here. I mean, if you've seen her worship up here, and I tell her all the time, I said, you're talented. There's so much about you that's great. And God sees that also. But she is in Him. She is chosen. She is valuable. And she is loved. Rob. Okay. Now, we have somebody up here that's totally different. And most people will tell you that he is totally different. I've only known him for 5 months. He is different. But you know what? I love him, and he's funny, and I love having him around here. And he's a blessing to this body, too. He was a blessing to my wife when we first got here. Carrie was the only Sunday school teacher. He said he had retired already like 5 times. So he came out of retirement to help her. That's his heart, is to be a blessing, to be a servant, to help people. Loves kids. Kids love him. So he has been a blessing to me and my family from the moment that we met them. And we love their family dearly. But once again, he's somebody that's totally different than Shigazirim was up here. Well, God can't. He loves Shigazirim, not this guy. He's different. He's got dad jokes to no end. I mean, and his son is picking up on those dad jokes. But anyway, but he's somebody that's totally different. And so God sees us and he recognizes that we're different people. He recognizes that we come from different backgrounds. He recognizes that we all don't think the same way. But if you're a believer and you're in him, he looks on you in the same way. He looks on you with love. So if Rob were to turn around and look in that mirror, as he's going to do, and stare himself, stare at him, if you can just see the, maybe you can see the facial expressions right now. But he's going to look at him. He's not going to look at me. He's going to look at himself eye to eye. I'm seeing all this up here. But he's going to look at himself eye to eye. Now, he can look at himself, and once again, he can see all the faults. He can see all of the I should have done's over the years. He can see that I should have taken care of myself this way or that way. I think we all can look in the mirror and say that. But so laying all that aside, those are all natural, those are all physical things. How does God see you? How, when God looks at you, what does he see? What does he say? And as he's standing there, and Rob, repeat after me, says, he sees me as in him.
He sees me as in him. He sees me as in him.
I am valuable to God.
I am valuable to God. I am valuable to God.
I am chosen by God.
I am chosen by God.
There is no one like me.
There is no one like me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
We embrace those things. This is how he feels. And we're just saying three or four little things here about what God, how God feels about us. There is so much more that he feels about us. There is so... He sent his son to die for us. Who would send their son to die for somebody? Raise your hands. I can raise my hand because I have no sons. I got all daughters. And we're going to let him continue to stand here uncomfortably staring at the mirror, in the mirror at himself. We're going to put the mic in that stand over there. It'd be great. Thanks. Hey, let's give him a round of applause. Right over there by that speaker. Over by that speaker. That's, here, let me show you where the speaker is. Here. Okay, that's a speaker, and this is a stand. They go right in there. There we go. Let's give him a round of applause. He found the speaker. But each one of us is different. Rob and Shigazirim are two totally different people. But God loves them both the same. He doesn't love her anymore, and he loves him, and vice versa. So what does God see in us when he sees us, when he looks at us? The things that they repeated right here. I believe this. And I hope they take this away from this little example here. The things that they said, the things that they repeated here, continue to repeat those to yourself. Continue to meditate on those things. You're valuable, you're loved, you're chosen. Why? Because you're in him. We need to remind ourselves because the world will try to define us in a different way. If we don't define ourselves through the eyes of God, the world will gladly let us know their opinion of us, what they think about us, how they think we should act, what we should do, what we should say. And if we don't know who we are in him and the authority and the rights and the privileges that we have, we will give in to what the world is trying to tell us we are. We will. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Who are you hanging out with? I'll tell you what, based on who you hang out with, I can tell you what type of person you are. You'll be, whoever you're hanging out with, the person you're spending the most time with, that's what you're going to be like. So who are you spending time with? I'm spending time with, well, Karen. So I have taken on some of the, you know, anyway, I won't go there. But I want to spend as much time as I can with God. I want to know who I am in him, what he says about me, what the rights and the privileges are, what the authority is that I have because I'm in him. I want to know that I'm loved no matter what anybody else says. I want to know that I'm valuable no matter what anyone else says. I want to know that I'm chosen no matter what anyone says. You are a chosen people. Those of us that are in Him, we are a chosen people. A royal what? Priesthood. So we need to realize that we're set apart to do His will. We just talked about it. The ministry of reconciliation. We're set apart for that. We're someone who has a plan that He's given, that He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. God trusts us. We're covered in His blood. Not too many churches want to talk about the blood anymore and what it's done for us. The shed blood of Jesus and what it's done for us. We're new creatures. We are someone that is in Him. As you, like I said earlier, as you sit there at some point, you're going to look in that mirror. As a matter of fact, when I said that, some of you just looked into that mirror. You need to ask yourself, what do you see? In Ephesians 5, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 in the New King James and the Message translation. As we look in this mirror, what do we see? Right here in Ephesians 5, 1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." In the Message translation, it says, "Watch what God does, and then you do it." I kind of like that. It says, first one says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Watch what God does, and then do it. You ever see a little kid with his mom and dad? They do exactly what the mom and dad does. The little kid, I've heard this explained this before. They're like a video recorder, always in record mode. They're always watching. And whatever they see, that's what they do. We need to be always in record mode. And as we're in record mode, we need to be doing and watching what Jesus did, what Jesus says. Our record mode, I'm looking right here. Okay, I'm recording. I'm recording. This all applies to me. Okay, be imitators of Jesus. Okay, right there. Yeah, I see what He's doing there. Goes on down here. This is the one of the key parts. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love." So if we're to be imitators of Christ, because we're in Him, if we're in Him, we're to be imitators of Him. And then do what? The first thing it says here, walk in love. Ooh. But you don't realize what that person's done to me. You don't realize the things that I've been through. You don't realize the tough life that I've had. It doesn't matter. In Him requires you to imitate Him, which requires you to walk in love. It's not easy. I mean, that's what a lot of people say. Well, I read the Bible and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. You know what? Sometimes it's not easy to walk it out. But if our desire is to be like Him, we should be striving to walk it out every day. People are asking us, like I said, very beginning of this series here, who do you think you are? Because we're daring to do and to say and to practice things that are actually bigger than we are. The things that the Word of God says about us, it's bigger than us. We can't do that on our own. When the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," man, I can do all things through Christ. It's bigger than we are. The all things in this world, there's many things that you can't do. But if you're in Christ, you can do all things through Him. Can we get a handle on that? I don't know that I've gotten a complete handle on that yet. But He's saying that we can do all things through Him. To live a life of change, the old has to go and the in Him lifestyle has to be walked out. We need to have an in Him lifestyle. And how do we get the in him lifestyle? I'm going to go through some things here real quickly. And all it is, Bible verses. How do we get the in him lifestyle? We got to know what it means to be in him and what the Word of God says about being in him. If we don't get a handle on that, then we can't live the in him lifestyle. We can't really be all in. Gordon wearing his t-shirt, you can't be all in if you don't know what he says about you. So God sees us as his handiwork, Psalms 139 and Ephesians 2. He sees us as his friend, James 2:23. He sees us as a chosen one, holy and beloved, Colossians 3. He sees me as dead to sin, Romans 6. He sees me raised with Christ, Colossians 3, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3. He sees me as a living stone placed by the master builder, 1 Peter 2:5. He sees me as part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And in verse 9, that's verse 9. And as one of, sees me as a, one of the foreigners and exiles in this world. That's verse 11. God sees me as part of his flock. He is our God and we are his people of his pasture. The flock under his care. Psalm 95. All this is how he sees me. I know I read those fast. But he sees us in that way. He cares for us that much. He has a plan. He has a purpose for our lives. He wants us to know that we are loved, that we are a chosen generation, that we are holy, that we are beloved, that we are the living stone made by a master builder. There's all kinds of things that the Bible says about us, but if we don't get in the Word and find out what they are and we try to live on experience and other people's testimonies and other people's experience, those things will not last. That's like seed thrown out there and the birds snatch it up. There's no good soil that has been planted in. The only good soil that has been planted in is our rightly dividing the Word of truth, getting into the Bible, getting into the Word of God. I've said it before that the devil doesn't want you to realize who you are in Christ. If he realizes who you are in Christ, you are dangerous to him and his plan. Because you know what? The Bible says that God has a plan and a purpose for us. The devil does too. We don't really think about that. And he doesn't really come at us blatantly saying, I want you to pull a gun and whatever. He doesn't tell us like that. It's ideas, thoughts, and little suggestions that he'll come at us with. But he does have a plan. The devil doesn't want you to act like your heavenly Father. He doesn't want you to imitate Christ. In order to be effectively all in, you have to see and accept who you are in Christ. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about anybody else and what they're doing for the kingdom of God. Or, well, it seems like that person, they're way up here and they're doing all these great things for the kingdom of God. Forget that person. Do what you're supposed to do. Jesus and Peter are walking along here. And Jesus says about John walking about here. And he says to Jesus, well, what about this guy back here? Referring to John. And Jesus says, don't worry about him. Worry about you. Be concerned about yourself. And so I believe that that's what God is telling us today. This whole in him business, forget about anybody else and what level they're at and what they're doing. Start where you need to start and be concerned about where you're at in Christ right now and build upon that. Huh. When you realize who you are in Christ, like I said, the devil is threatened and he's stressed. I think I've told this story before, that when my sister-in-law died, we were in a hospital room there in Peoria. I think it was Methodist Hospital. Methodist, it doesn't really matter. But we're in the room, and Carrie shared Jesus with her. She accepted Jesus. And then this other lady named Rhonda, who her sister and Rhonda had been really good friends. And I think Rhonda might have been a minister at a church there in town. But she came to the room, and all the family is in the room. Your mom, you know, different ones were in the room. Ashley, everybody. So this Rhonda comes into the room, and she goes to Mindy, and she says, start talking to her about, you know, wanting to receive Jesus. And finally, she looks at everybody in the room, and she says, We got business to take care of here. Just letting the people know, hold on, we have business to take care of. So she prays with Mindy. Mindy receives Jesus as her Savior. And when she did, the moment she received Jesus as her Savior, I mean within seconds, Mindy says, "Did you hear that?" And we said, "What?" "No, we didn't hear anything." She said, "It was a door slamming and it was angry." Okay. I walk out in the hallway. I said, "Okay, Lord, what was that all about? A door slamming, it was angry?" And in that moment, he told me, he says, that last hold that he had on her, he lost it. That final door was slammed and he was shut out of her life. And within a day or so, she died and went to heaven. He had a plan for her. He wanted her to die in her sin. He didn't want her to be with Jesus. But she made a plan. A plan unfolded to where she accepted Jesus as her Savior. And in that moment, even in the last seconds of her life, she realized that Jesus loved her and that she was in Him. And He was in her. So when we leave this planet, we'll see her sister. We have a hope. Anybody who's died in our families, we have a hope of them being in our future. We'll be with them again. In Jeremiah 29:11, "For I have said this verse numerous times, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope," declares. As I was reading that verse there, it says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you," the Lord states formally, emphatically, officially, explicitly, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." I believe that the Lord showed me this as I was preparing for this lesson to do this when I got here this morning. Kevin, I'm telling you formally, I'm telling you emphatically and officially and explicitly that the Lord has plans for you. I don't care what you've done in the past, and that's been good. You've had success doing the things that God has called you to do in the past, but He has more plans in store for you. And He wants you to know emphatically, without a doubt, that you're to fulfill that plan. And any plan that you put your hand to, it's going to be prosperous. It's going to succeed. And I believe that was the word of the Lord to say that to you. And that same word of the Lord, it applies to a number of us. But I'll tell you what, when that word comes to you, if you don't do something about it, dies there unborn. Now, I believe Kevin being here at LifePoint, there's a lot that he has to offer to this church. He's been around the block 3 times that I know of. Maybe a few more times than that. But he's been around the block. He has something to offer this body here. I recognize that. I don't have all the answers for everything. I don't know everything as much as my wife would tell you. I know everything. Right, Carrie? She's telling. But anyway, I don't know everything. But and the thing of it is, I'm not just talking Kevin. Everyone here has some sort of supply to bring to this body. Don't think that you come here to this church and you have nothing to offer. You have something to offer. You have something to offer that I can't give this body. There's something about your life that will touch the life of somebody in this place that I can't, because it's not in me, but it's in you. And when you recognize that it's in you, that that is the plan and the purpose that God has for you because you are in Him, then you'll affect a change in this place. This place will grow because of you. I heard a song here on YouTube here recently. It's called "Made for More." It's by a guy named Josh Baldwin. And I just want to read some of the lyrics here. It says, "I know who I am because I know who you are." What have we been talking about here? The very first line of this song, "I know who you am, you are who I am because I know who you are. I know who I am in you." starts off the very first verse, line of this song. I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. The cross of salvation, you got to have it. You can't go on any of this unless you've got that there. But it was only the start. He says he has a plan and a purpose for you. When you're in him, he has a plan and a purpose for you. So salvation, that's just the start. Man, there is so much more that each one of you has to offer this body here. And if you're keeping it shut up on the inside of you, I almost said shame on you, but I don't want to say that. But if you're keeping it shut up on the inside of you, you're depriving the people of this congregation. Amen. This body can't grow to the way it's supposed to if you're keeping what God has put on the inside of you to yourself. I want to know what it is. I want to take advantage of it. Not advantage of you, but I want what it is that you have in you because of Christ in you. I want it to come forth because I want to, it's meant to benefit me. I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth living. Because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Man, when we know that we are his, and we know who we are in him, there is so much more that he has for us. And if you don't know what it is that God has for you, if you don't know the plan that God has for your life, take time, number one, study his word. Most of the time when you're going to hear from God, it's through his word. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in line with his word. But the plan and the purpose will unfold in your life starting with the word of God. He'll start showing you things about your life. He'll start showing you steps that you should take in various directions. In Ephesians 2:10, we're going to start landing this plane here. In a few minutes. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Uh-oh. Ephesians 2:10 just said that you guys are God's masterpiece. That I'm God's masterpiece. Never criticize God's masterpiece. Never talk bad about God's masterpiece. Never talk bad about yourself. He has created us anew in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Gosh, all the verses that we've been talking about, that's Jeremiah 29:11 wrapped up in that verse. So we've had the masterpiece in Ephesians 10. We've had you're new in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's got plans for you, Jeremiah 29:11, all in one verse. When he says one thing about you, he follows it up. Because he wants you to get it. He wants you to know who you are in him. Now, it doesn't mean when you find out who you are in him and things are going great in your life, it doesn't mean the devil won't try to attack you still. Matter of fact, you're the one that he wants to attack. If you're not doing anything for God, he's not concerned about you because you're not making an impact for the kingdom of God. But if you're doing something for God, the devil doesn't like it. He's going to attack you. He's going to come at you in various ways. And it'll be subtle ways most of the time. We can talk a good game about the things of God. We can have good conversations about the things of God. And I like to talk God stuff. Gerhard and I got to talk some God stuff here at the hospital a few weeks ago. I like having conversations like that. But we can talk God stuff, but we got to do God stuff. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Your faith without a corresponding action is dead. What you believe, if you don't do anything about it, it just sits there. But if you do something about it, it makes a difference. The devil doesn't like that. But the bottom line is, you got to realize that you win. you win. You win every time because you are in Him. I mean, I can say that I'm more than a conqueror. I may not feel like a conqueror, but because of who I am in Him, a reality of it has been created in my life. Doesn't matter what I feel like, the Bible's still true. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are what seem to be some impossible things going on in our lives. We've got things going on in our lives that just seems impossible. Natural things, financial things that seem impossible. But I can't be defeated. And you know what? I'm not going to quit no matter what the situation is. Why? Because I'm in Him. And because I'm in Him, He says all my supplies are met, all my needs are met, according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Because I'm in Him and I've been in His Word. When I look at myself in the mirror, I see someone who can't be defeated. I see someone who is strong. I see someone who can do all things. I see the disciple that Jesus loves. I see all things are possible because I believe. You can't tell me. You've come too late to tell me that what I just said there isn't true. Act as if you are in Him, as if you are in Christ. I want to end it real quickly here. I want to read these last few verses here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, look with wonder at the depths of the Father's marvelous love that He has lavished on us. He has called us and made us His very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize Him. Beloved, He's talking to you, beloved. Beloved, we are God's children right now. Not when we get to heaven. We're His children right now. I know how well my mom and dad treated me. God will treat me better. He'll treat you better. You are God's beloved children right now. However, it's not yet apparent what we will become. He has a plan and a purpose. It hasn't unfolded completely in front of us. So we don't know exactly what it is we're going to become. But we know that it's something that is done in Him, so it has to be good. But we do not know when it is finally made visible. We will be just like Him, for we will see Him as He truly is. John 1, 10 through 13. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting with human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. With this new in Him revelation, you can't operate though like you did in the past. Love, in most of the verses I read here, love was the center point. And that's what He's called us to. I talking earlier this year, the more in 24, the all in, the in Him requires changing direction. We're moving forward here. I told you early on in that exhortation we had in the beginning of the service, we're moving forward. Like I said, buckle up, buttercup. But we're moving forward. But it requires changing direction and only focusing on how God sees us in Him. So when you look in this mirror, see that person that's in Him, chosen, valued, and loved, and know that that person who's looking in that mirror, looking back at you, there's a plan and a purpose for that person. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this morning, and I thank You for Your love for us. I thank You that You have only good, great, and precious things in store for each and every one of us. Father, it is my cry, and I hope the cry of the people here, Father, that that we lay aside those things that would so easily hold us back and keep us from charging forward, not walking forward, but charging forward, moving forward, pressing forward to the call that you have on each and every one of our lives. And Father, when we have that foundation of knowing who we are in you, when we have that foundation of knowing that anything that tries to come against us, it has to fail because we are in you. And Father, it's an exciting adventure that you have us on. And we look forward to walking it out each and every day.